Hello, everybody. I'm Matt Seidel along with Derek Seidel, and this is Coach Speak. Hey, welcome back to the pod, everyone. We are back for our seventh and final preview for the 2022-23 prep basketball season. The final preview will focus on the seven remaining boys teams that we tend to talk about from time to time on the podcast. They represent multiple leagues and multiple districts, that for sure. But let's get going with this. We're going to start. I think they earned the right to lead off this particular segment. That would be the Belleville Tigers, coached by Adam Trumpour, fresh off their Final Four appearance last year in Division I basketball. Quite an exciting season and team that they had a year ago. And this year, I don't know if they're going to get back to the Breslin or not, but this is still going to be a pretty good basketball team. Belleville is relevant every year in Wayne County, and we almost consider them Washtenaw County because they're right there on the border, but they're going to be a good team and probably the favorite again in the KLAA. They have multiple returning players despite losing some really good ones. Derek, Belleville Tigers, what do you think this year based on some of the information you've gotten and listened to?
Yeah, I think that it's an interesting group. Like you said, you know, they were in the Final Four a year ago. I know that was a little bit of a kind of a surprise run. I mean, as anybody has to make in order to get to the finals in Division I, you have to beat good teams, which they did. You know, they graduated seven seniors from a year ago. A lot of their key guys have moved on. A handful of them are playing in college, but, you know, they still bring back a lot of guys with experience, which is interesting. I mean, I think it all starts with Jalen Jenkins. You know, he's a 6'2 junior point guard who's, you know, this is already his third year on the varsity. He's basically started since he was a freshman. He was a KLAA first teamer a year ago. He can do a little bit of everything. He's long and athletic. He can guard the 1-4. He's a good rebounder, especially for a guard. He can get to the basket, can shoot the three. He's really going to kind of, I think, be the straw that stirs the drink for the Tigers this year. They also have a handful of other guys that were on the team a year ago. They got, looks like they got three seniors that have some experience. They got Tavion Browning, who's on the third year on the varsity. He's a 5'10 senior guard. Nate O'Neill is a 5'10 wing player who was on the varsity a year ago. And then Greg Thomas, the third, was a wing on the team a year ago, who's a 6'2 senior. So, and then the other returner that Coach Trumpour noted to us is Miles Gregory, who's a 6'1 junior wing. So I think they still have some experience. I still expect them to be right there at the top of the KLAA, their division in the KLAA. They've been there for a while. I think, you know, Coach has said as he thinks it's going to be a very competitive league this year. So that'll be interesting. And I expect them to be right there again in the district like they normally are.
Now, this Nate O'Neill is, I believe he has a third name there, Nate O'Neill Lewis. He's got one of those guys with, they had names on the back of the uniforms. It gets a little crowded back there. But yeah, another good one of their players. You know, he's in this conference, I mean, Dearborn and Wayne and Stevenson and Glenn and, you know, they're coming. And Wayne is, you know, got these young guys that we've all been waiting to see. The Allen kid, I think he's a freshman this year. I still don't think anybody's at least proven that they can knock Bella off that podium. But, you know, Bella's got some other guys. I mean, they're going to play more. I mean, you listed five, you know, good returning basketball players. DeAndre Gary is a junior guard. Braylon Manning. Then they've got a couple guys on the all-name team. And I'm going to try this. And these guys, if they want to tweet at me, we're going to call the one guy Chin because I can't get the whole first name. Chin Agaviz, a 6'4 sophomore wing post. And Bryant, forgive me on this one, Barangay Budu, 6'4 sophomore post. With names like that, man, they've got to have some game. That's good stuff. And they're going to, you know, they figure to be part of the rotation. That's nine guys that we've talked about, but the depth in the Belleville program has always been one of their strengths, and he has subbed freely almost every team he's had. And they've been effective. I think they've won three straight conference titles. They've won some district regionals, obviously. That was the third Final Four in school history. So I know, Coach is a positive guy. I've had a chance to talk to him multiple times in the past year, and I know he's really looking forward to this challenge, and he enjoys this group of kids and just kind of the culture that they've got going over there. So expect good things out of Belleville. Again, whether or not they can make another tournament run, that remains to be seen. But it's going to be a good season for them as usual. So jumping around, we've got two teams that are part of the Catholic League. One is the Ann Arbor Green Hills. The other one is Gabe Richard. Green Hills is not a Catholic school, from my understanding, but the Catholic League just kind of does things its own way anyway. So they now have a school like Green Hills in there. But Anthony Wright, he's one of the unsung or maybe under the radar coaches in the in Washtenaw County. He's a very steady coach. Anybody, I don't really know him personally, but I kind of admired his team's success, and he develops players, and his teams are very competitive despite, being a pretty small school. But they, they bring back some guys. They got a transfer as well. We'll see. I mean, they've got a kid named this name a couple games that we've seen before for sure. But the one that, of course, catches my eye, Sam Dorfman, a 6'6" senior center, returns this year. I expect him to, to be one of their leaders. And a guy that they kind of look to, throughout the season. What else do you see that catches your eye from the Griffins?
Yeah, we actually played these guys over at Jackson College this summer, and they are a different team. And what I mean by that is, like, they just, and Coach mentioned this as well, like, they have a ton of size and length. They kind of play, and they have some guys that are long and big that can handle the ball. So it kind of has a different feel when you watch them play or when you play against them, just because they can kind of they play sort of a, I guess it was this summer, it was like they were playing a little bit of a slower pace, but they just can stress you in different ways than other teams, especially at the, as kind of a somewhat smaller school. But like you mentioned, Dorfman is 6'6". They got Lucas Knorr, Isaac Hess are a couple junior guards that return, along with Alex Yee. All three of those guys are between 6 foot and 6'3" at the guard position. They then have a 6'2" junior wing, Ben Formicolo. And then JD Hatch, who's a 6'4" wing, and then Nikola Sarcevic, who's a 6'5" wing center. So again, like, we're listing all these dudes off, man, and they're all over 6 foot. You got a couple 6'5", 6'6" kids, and it sounds like Coach said they got a few other guys that he didn't even list out that are going to be fighting for minutes and for spots in the rotation, that are up at that height as well. They also have a transfer in the mix. It looks like a kid that's transferred in from Lincoln, who had to sit a year ago. His name is Owen Day. He's a 6 foot junior, plays a little bit on the wing. So I do think that they're going to have a lot of pieces here that are, you notice too, a lot of these guys are juniors. They might be kind of shaping up here for a 2 year run. They did lose some key production from a year ago. I know some of the guys we mentioned on the pod a lot last year, a team that I think won a district, upset Arbor Prep in the postseason. So it may take a little time for them to kind of iron things out, but it'll be interesting to see how that goes for them.
Yeah, I mean, and and that success that they had, he's hoping that kind of carries over. And even though they lost, I mean, their three captains are all gone, and Finn Klein, obviously a name that we've mentioned multiple times, like you said, no longer playing for them. But he likes their talent. He likes their athleticism. He wouldn't be surprised if this actually ends up being one of his better teams. So we'll keep an eye on their development as the year goes on. The other team, obviously, that's going to play in the Catholic League is the Father Gabriel Richard Irish, coached by Rex Stanzak. They're going to be led by a kid who we've mentioned again multiple times. I think he was drafted. I got him, I think, in the in our all area preseason draft. Aiden Moon, a 6'7" senior, going to play 1 through 5 for them this year, even though he's probably a true three. The only returning starter back on this team. Now they lost. They only got two guys in their top eight coming back, and he's one of them. But he probably was their best player at the end of last year. And Coach Stanzak doesn't just call guys good players or excellent players without them earning it. And this is a kid that he has put a circle around for us a while back, so he can shoot it, he can pass it, he can handle it. So he's got a full skill set, and he called him a willing defender. I like that. And he rebounds well. Of course, at 6'7", he should. He was their leading scorer and rebounder last year. So look for big things out of Aiden Moon. Who else do you see from Rashard that catches your eye?
Yeah, the other, I think, key returner for them is James Kenzicki, who's a 6 foot guard, who's a junior for them. I think he'll start at the one for them, but he's also, you know, a guy that can complement Moon and the fact that he can probably slide off the ball a little bit when they want to have Moon kind of initiate the offense. He's a good shooter. Coach, I think, expects him to have a breakout year and get things going for him. The other two guys that were varsity players a year ago, maybe just outside the rotation, or just outside of that top eight that you mentioned, not necessarily outside of the rotation, but Sam Marinucci, who's a 6 foot junior. Again, he'll probably play a lot as that off guard spot, but could also move around on the perimeter. Coach mentioned that last year he was a five quarter guy at times, but then kind of built his way up into the rotation. So it's always cool to see kids do that. I think the five quarter rule is great for allowing kids to develop like that. And coach, I think, expects him to be able to slot in and be effective right away. And then one of their other big kids here, Patrick Riley, is a 6'5" senior who will kind of have to hold down the inside for Gabriel Rashard this year. Again, he was a guy that was kind of fringe rotation guy. Sounds like he's dealt with a lot of injuries in his high school career, they're going to lean on a lot in the post.
You know, there's multiple other guys that coach mentioned, and you know, really about five more, but there's two that caught my eye for various reasons. One is Joe Westermeyer, 6'1" senior combo guard. And coach kind of labeled him, at least preseason, as you know, the best passer on our team. And that's just one of those skills that every coach likes to see. But with Coach Stanzak and the style of play that they're considering this year, I think he's going to have a role for them. And then, you know, Nick Rumler was a 6 foot junior, another combo guard. He was the best player on their JV team last year. So you're always wondering, I always like to know who that is, the best player on the JV from the year ago, and whether that translates to varsity. But I think coach is hoping that he can step right in. You know, they're in a tough league. I mean, they, you know, they've Riverview Gabe Rashard might be the favorite this year, but I think Ann Arbor Gabe Rashard and Divine Child and Green Hills, and you know, they're going to be in there contending. We'll see if they can knock off Riverview Gabe Rashard. A coach mentioned, I thought this was really interesting, you know, they lost a bunch of guys, and Rex is, you know, I've known Rex for a long time. He is willing to, you know, he has a system of play that he likes, you know, maybe more than others, but he also is a smart enough guy that he's going to, you know, develop his system to fit his players. And he's mentioned that, you know, last year they played a lot of the Syracuse 2-3 zone, but they had the length. And this year, not necessarily that amount of length. So you may see a much more man-to-man. You may see them pressuring a little bit. They may do some things offensively that he did when he was at Ann Arbor Pioneer. So it's going to be interesting. You know, and those were some of his best teams that are really fun to watch. Shared the ball, just were hard to defend, and just some of the actions they ran. And if he can get this young team to be anywhere near what he had over there, at least in terms of scheme, it's going to be interesting. There'll be a tough game each and every time out. So moving on, let's look at this is a team. This is a little closer out near you, Derek. The LCAA, they've got to be, you know, right there. And this will be Clinton, coached by Jeremy Chavez. This is, you know, I think everybody has kind of been waiting for this year, and they've got a really good, talented senior class, including a kid named Grant Stockford, 6'3" senior. He's a first team all league player last year. Really exciting kid that plays above the rim. But, you know, I'm kind of, I've seen him before. You know, I saw him a couple of years ago, then I saw him this summer, and they have some spurt ability. They're exciting. I wouldn't be surprised if they win their conference this year. What do you know and think about Clinton?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, one of the most talented teams in the area, especially in Division III. I think they can make a lot of noise, not only in their league in the LCAA, but also in the postseason. They got We've talked about this a bunch on the podcast, but they have a winning tradition going on over there in Clinton, really in every sport, all the boys' sports in particular, at least that I can think of. I mean, football is always good. Basketball is really kind of getting started here to go on a run. Everyone's expecting with the talent they got coming, and their baseball team was good last year as well. So, and a lot of these guys are shared between those sports. Like you mentioned, Stockford is really impressive. He's a basketball first guy. Definitely can play in college if he chooses to do so with his athleticism, his skill. He can shoot the ball. Landon Boos as the point guard is really impressive. He's a just kind of an Energizer Bunny type. He's really active. He's all over the place. He can knock down the three. Again, he's an exciting player to watch. Ryan Sheerhart, another senior, kind of an off guard or a wing. Again, very steady guy for them last year. I think he transferred in a year ago, if I remember correctly. And again, stud athlete across the board. I think he might be a college baseball player, if I'm remembering correctly, but very good basketball player, very strong. Again, I think that they're very deep. They got a lot of talent they can go to. Those three probably are the key guys returning as in the kind of the I guess the core group that were key pieces a year ago. Jalen Stelzer is a 6'2" sophomore who played varsity as a freshman, really had a very good year. Tough kid who I expect to continue to grow. I mean, he's kind of got a high ceiling in my opinion. So I'm curious to see his development. And then a couple other guys, Keegan Houston, excuse me, Carson Pixley and Jacob Gilson. They're all seniors who are going to factor. Again, I think if I'm remembering correctly, again, I watched these guys play in the fall league a bunch this year over at Jackson College. And I believe Carson Pixley was out there as kind of their post player. He's very physical, very good around the basket, and can protect the basket on the other end. And again, those other guys are experienced players. And yeah, they've got a lot of talent coming, I think. And I think this is a really interesting race in the LCAA. Like you mentioned, I mean, Onset has dominated the league, and they have the unstoppable force in Aiden Davis, that, how you're going to figure out a way to guard him for anybody in the league is going to be a tough task. And I think Columbia Central will be right there. They have a lot of talent. They've got a lot of guys back from a year ago, and they were, they played these guys in a district final last year that I think most people probably were favoring Columbia Central in, and Clinton got them. Not, I should, it was a toss up game, but yeah. So, I mean, it's very interesting to see how that shapes up.
Onset is definitely the target, for Clinton and anybody else in that conference. And Jeremy's the first one to admit that. I mean, you're trying to figure out a way to stop Davis, but the one way to stop Davis, I guess, is just outscore Onset. And if any team can do that, it might be Clinton. I mean, I was surprised. They shot 492 three-pointers last year and shot 35% as a team. The Stelzer kid hit 43% of his threes. Is that what you're seeing as well? I mean, is that
I'm seeing that, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. Stockford average 18 points a game, but their strength, I think, is they can put shooters all over the floor and they can let it fly. And if they, that again, Davis is a man, and they, Onsted's very well coached, and they've got some other players too, from what I understand. But Clinton is going to be there, and they're obviously going to have to play twice during the regular season, and then you never know about the postseason. But should be an exciting year for Clinton for sure. So moving on, we're going to look at the Arbor Prep. Coached by Ron Murray, and in Arbor Prep, sometimes they get kind of forgotten in our area. Heck, we didn't include some of their guys when we picked our all area kind of preseason team, and that was my fault for just kind of oversighting. But they're not really in the league; they're an independent, which is so rare these days. But well coached, they've got really good talent there, and this year, we'll see. I mean, and sometimes they do it with some different guys, some names that just pop up. But, it seems to start with, Xavier Brooks, 5'10 senior guard. Coach calls him a three-level scorer and just a pest defensively on the perimeter. And that's a typical Arbor Prep kind of guard. So I think he's right for a big season. They've got some other guys as well.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they had some big names last year that are now gone, the guys that had contributed for a long time. And then they even had the one transfer as well that came in. So like having to replace those guys is going to be tough, but like you said, they always have have good athletes. They're extremely tough and they really pressure the ball. And I think, like you said, Brooks is great at that. And I think Dior Partey is a 5'10" senior guard that's going to do the exact same thing. Like they're going to be able to put two small, I guess, small height wise guards out there that are just going to harass your ball handlers, right? They're going to fly all over the court. They're going to make your life tough when you're on offense every single night. And I think that when you can start with that, that's always extremely valuable. And I think that they'll beat a lot of teams simply because they can't, teams can't handle, that type of pressure. And then they have Sebastian Connor as another returner, who's a 6'2" senior forward, is really kind of a spot up 3-point shooter and also a good shot blocker for them at least a year ago. So I think those are the three key guys to look for off of last year's team. And then coach mentioned a few guys to watch out for here that are coming in. That's Chris Poplar, who's a 6'5" junior forward. So they got some size there. And then Gier Love, I believe I might be mispronouncing that first name, but is a 6'2" sophomore guard who will be in the mix this year as well.
Anytime you see a poplar in the area, it makes you think of Jamal Poplar, who was at one time a Willa Run player. I think he played at River Rouge, may have played at some other schools as well, but was a good player in the area a few years ago. Not sure if that's a relative or not, but be curious to see what type of game he has. You mentioned they had three college players a year ago. I didn't realize all three of those guys went on to play college. Patrick Combo, Troy Sicotte, and Amari Bird. I mean, they combined to average 40 points. That's a lot of offense to replace, and all three of them are playing small college basketball right now. But they, I think again, Coach Murray, his son, I know is an assistant coach this year, and he has a big role in this in developing this team. But they seem to be competitive, and won't be surprised if they have a good year as well. So there are two other teams we'd like to mention before we sign off, and these will be the two from the CAAC, the Lansing area, the Capital Area Activities Conference. I better know what that stands for since Olivet is entering that league next year. But and that is Williamston, coached by Koji Varum, as well as Lansing Catholic, coached by Jake Bullock, and we had them both on the podcast, so we have a special interest in them. And there's 19 schools currently in the CAAC, and we're just gonna kind of talk about these two real quick. But let's start with Williamston, the defending Division II state champions, 27-0 last year, just rolled through. So Koji Vroom's taken over this team. They lost basically everybody. Doesn't mean they don't have talent, because it is Williamston, but they've got, they got a couple guys here. I guess the top returners, the ones that are, I guess the names to look at first: Brooks Klein, a 6'2" senior guard, Carter Malk, a 6'1" senior wing, and Anthony Shelley, a 6'1" senior guard. So there's three, guys that were juniors a year ago. We'll see. I mean, I wouldn't say there's a lot of pressure on them, but there's always pressure at Williamson. I mean, you got, I don't think they're necessarily a threat to repeat as state champions, but they're gonna be try to be competitive in their division, and these three guys might be a big piece of that.
Yeah, they sounds like they're scheduling like they are,
Yeah, no
a
doubt.
top end team, which is not a bad thing, right? I mean, coach is obviously going to have to make sure that they don't lose their confidence if they drop a few of these games while they're figuring things out when they're replacing so much production from a year ago. But yeah, like you said, they have a great tradition there in terms of just kind of constantly having players that can produce and play at a high level. And I think that sometimes with this type of a group, the tough thing is just figuring out what you got, who you've got, how the pieces are going to gel together. I know some of those newcomers they got coming in. You got Zach Cribbs and Hudson Hunt are a couple of juniors that I think coach expects to factor big time. Cribbs is a 6'2" guard. Hunt is a 6'5" wing, whose brother Brandon Hunt was a recent graduate a couple years ago. I think was a good player at Williamston. And then there are a few other juniors as well, Ben Smith and Max McCune, but those guys, I think coach expects to factor, or at least was, as he's getting started, he's expecting those guys to be there. And they have a bunch of other pieces coming up. Again, I think my understanding from how it was for them last year is like, there's very few varsity guys that that played a significant role. So you're looking at a lot of guys that are coming up from the JV team. I know when talking to coach, they've also got some young pieces coming, especially in the freshman class and stuff that he thinks are going to be very good players down the line. I'm not saying they're going to factor on the varsity right off the bat, but they do have talent in the school, in the program. It's just a matter of them figuring things out. And I expect it to be an interesting team. Want to keep an eye on them early in the year, see how they can get it going.
And of course, the Williamston Lansing Catholic game, which is played early every season, I'm always interested in. Even before Koji and Jake got there, I mean, when Brian Dart was coaching at Lansing Catholic, but even before he was there, it's just an interesting early season game. They used to be in the same division, of course, and they do play early again this year, and I think it might dictate or be a telling point for how their seasons are going to go. Lansing Catholic, we don't have a ton on them. They too, they've lost a lot of guys. Jake Bullock takes over for Brian Dart there. But they've got, they've got some pieces, and most people that know this the CAAC believe that they have enough to contend in that conference, in that division again. I mean, Ionia is probably the preseason favorite, but not by a long shot. And Lansing Catholic and Charlotte and I mean, you, I don't know. You might be able to throw a couple others in there too. It's a Lansing Sexton, and you don't really know, what kind of team they're going to have this year. But Lush Garazi, and I'm sure I butchered probably both of his names. Great name, all name team for sure. A 6'6", senior, kind of a power forward type player. Really good length and athleticism. A skilled guy who can also step out and shoot it. So one of those modern bigs, he might be the main guy there this year. He's the name that you see most often, even in social media, as kind of a guy to keep an eye on. And they also have a senior guard coming back named Dean Jacobs. Again, 6 foot guard, elite shooter, at least described by Coach Bullock, and real quick release as well. And he's also a finisher at the rim. So what else do you want out of your guard? Maybe a little defense. I'm sure Dean can play some defense as well. But you played against Jake Bullock, and I'm always curious: is this team going to resemble his game? Like, and Jake had a unique style and an exciting style, and he was a fun college player to watch for sure. But I'm wondering, just style wise, what Lansing Catholic's going to have.
Yeah, if he's able to get his team to play like he did, you're right, they will be a fun team to watch, because Jake was an exciting player and he had some flashiness to him. He could shoot it, wasn't afraid of anything, any shot on the floor and stuff. So a couple other guys to watch out for coming up here. There's a couple of guys that are underclassmen. You got Justin DeVernonna. Again, that one might be a mispronunciation, but that's my shot at it.
I'm gonna step in. I'm gonna predict that it's D. Vernona, but that's another
That
shot to give.
probably is better,
All
but
right.
yeah, he's a 6 foot junior guard. Sorry, Justin, but we expect him to kind of factor here and be a key piece. And then Drew Tolfrey is a 6 foot sophomore guard as well. That should be in the mix here for them. So again, we've talked a lot about these two schools who tend to be good athletic programs, and they're kind of rivals, and both have these young coaches. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes in the CAAC.
Hey, like we've done with all the boys podcasts, at least we kind of talked about, I guess maybe who has the best shot to make a run in the state tournament, and that run might be just winning a district. But looking at these seven schools that we highlighted today, what are your thoughts? If you had to pick one for sure, your most sure thing to win a district out of these seven, if any, who do you like?
Man, that is a great question. And again, this is by all I'm definitely stretching my length, my how much I know about these schools here. I'm gonna say it's between two for me. I think it's either Belleville. They're in the Romulus district with Livonia Churchill, Romulus, Wayne Memorial, and Westland, John Glenn. I really don't know a lot about these other schools. I know some of them are in their league. And again, Belleville's kind of owned that league, so I might expect them to be the winner there. And again, they finally got out of that mega district with the Ann Arbors and Lincoln and all that, so they'll probably be excited for that. But I actually, again, I don't know these other schools, but I'm gonna take the fact that I don't know them as maybe they're not great. So maybe Green Hills. Green Hills is in the Whitmore Lake district with Brighton Charles Stockwell Prep, Detroit Communications Media Arts, Plymouth Christian Academy, Southfield Bradford Academy, and Whitmore Lake. Again, I know a little bit about Whitmore Lake. I don't really know anything about those other four schools there, but I have a feeling just knowing Green Hills, I could see them winning as well. So I'm going to go Green Hills as my safest bet to win a district, but who knows?
Man, okay. Yeah, I like Belleville to win that, even though I think, you're going to see like Wayne Memorial, that they're going to get better and better as the year goes on. Romulus never puts a bad team out there. John Glenn's almost in the same boat. So that's going to be a competitive district. It is at Romulus High School. Some great games have been played there. And I do like Belleville's chances there. I would bet on them if there was a line on that. I'm not going to touch the Green Hills District. I don't know enough about any of those guys. Arbor Prep, I think they're going to be up against it in their district.
That's a tough district,
it
man. There's
is
some good teams in that district.
Erie Mason's really well coached. I saw them this summer. Riverview gave Richard. We've already talked, how they're going to be in Richard, gave Richard, Ann Arbor gave Richard's division. They're going to be right there. Not that Arbor Prep can't do it, but I think that's going to be competitive. I like Clinton in the Hudson division, to be
Yeah, I
honest.
think you're right on that one. I may have
Yeah.
been, and that's one I missed.
I mean, you're going to find out about Brooklyn Columbia Central this week, and they've got some players as well, and that's obviously a rivalry game and so forth. But I like Clinton's chances there, and Williamston and Gay Richard have to go. They're Williamston's hosting the district, but with Chelsea in that one, that they're going to be up against it to beat the Bulldogs. And of course, I am not going to even comment on the district at Lansing Eastern. So Lansing Catholic, you're on your own. If you're going to win that, it can't be because I'm predicting you to win it. But that's going to be a really competitive district for sure, with the multiple teams that have a good chance, and it'll come down to who's playing the best in March. But it's always fun to look at that. But the Clinton team, it's interesting. I don't know. I just think that they could make a run. They might have enough, especially if a team, if they really find their way offensively and can shoot it, and get multiple guys that are knocking the ball down from behind the arc. We'll see. And then Belleville's just Belleville. We didn't expect it last year, and look what happened. So.
Right. And again, it's always easier to I guess predict these, Division three schools, because you don't have, like, in Division one, like for Belleville, every single game they could lose when they get to the district, and not that there's, a ton of easy games for the Division three schools, but there is sometimes a little bit more separation. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I agree though. I mean, Belleville is they tend to surprise us. I think Clinton goes a different direction this year. They're not in like the Jackson area like they were last year, where they played Michigan Center in the regional. I think that they actually play like that Erie Mason. They're in the Erie with that Erie Mason, the group that Arbor Prep is in, that they're in that regional. So I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure. So
Well, hey man, this was fun. I think we previewed, if you count the girls and all and the six boys previews that we did, we previewed over 60 high school basketball teams with the seven previews. So that was great. Appreciate the cooperation from the coaches. And I know we get some criticism out there, because we left some people out, and we tried, man. There's only so much time, and obviously we're getting ready to start our regular seasons this week, so our time is limited. But we definitely had a good time. If anything, we should be getting criticism about our pronunciations. I mean, we need, of course, these coaches. I mean, at the college level, the media, they get like a pronunciation guide with last names. We need to start asking for that next year, because, or maybe we should do an outtake of just all the butchering that we did of some of these names, because that's some comical stuff, especially if we found out how they were really pronounced. But all in jest and all in good fun. But exciting times, man. Girls season just wrapped up, the first week of the girls season just wrapped up this week, and some you're starting to see, who's got something and who doesn't. And then the boys starts tomorrow, or when this podcast comes out, it's going to be today on Monday, and then it's real for about 3.5 months. So looking forward to it for sure.
yeah, and these first couple of weeks are always really exciting, leading up to winter break, because you're just learning so much about teams. I mean, you're gonna have in a week, you're gonna have, you already have it with the girls, where there's a few teams that, oh, maybe they're a little better than we thought, or maybe they're not as good as we thought. And the same thing will be going on with the boys over these next few weeks, which it's fun and it's exciting.
Hey, one the final thing, man. The girls' GLAC Cascades Challenge was held last week, this past weekend, and the Cascades took it 4-2. Man, it's kind of disappointing for my GLAC schools, even though the Eagles from Olivet got a win. We got 7 boys' games in this challenge coming up this week. We will both be participating in that. You on the enemy side with the Cascades, and me on the good guys' side with the GLAC. I definitely wish you well. You're playing Lakewood, for God's sake. Even though they're part of the GLAC, I can never pull against Lakewood. That's our rival, and especially when they're playing you guys. But good luck against the Vikings next week, and we'll have to take on your one of your big rivals, Michigan Center, and we know that's going to be a tough one. So, it's been fun, everybody. We will talk to you when we talk to you. Take care.